Good morning. What we have just done in terms of pastoral prayer is one of the greatest significant things that we do in worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. The public prayer is a reflection of our faith and our hope, and it's the cornerstone of the simple idea. How dare we go before God with our prayers? We can do so in the name of Jesus through His Holy Spirit for His glory. Today we're looking at a biblical understanding of practice of prayer. We give thanks to God for the past season. We've been going through 9 months of a healthy church, and I had hoped for more to attend during the Gospel Community Conference that happened, where Mark Dever, the author, was around. But no worries, I am told that the recordings will be available, and I hope that we will all be enriched from the idea of how we as a healthy church can actually make a dynamic, positive impact to the community around us. But in the meantime, we went through, and we are still going through, a season of 9 months of a healthy church. We started out with gospel doctrine, expositional preaching, a biblical understanding of conversion and evangelism, a biblical understanding for membership, a biblical understanding on discipline, a biblical concern for discipleship, a biblical understanding on leadership, which is last week. And now we come to the things of discipleship, which is part and parcel of our everyday life. Today we're looking at prayer. Next week we're looking at missions. That same author I mentioned earlier, Mark Dever, he had said this. He said that prayer is central to the Christian life, so it is no surprise that it is also central in a healthy church. How we pray, individually and collectively, reflects our understanding of the gospel and how we are supposed to be together as a community of Christ. Today's passage is taken from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. I understand the font over there is very small. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, do turn with me. Keep your finger there, Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. And we'll also look at the Lord's Prayer in Acts chapter 6. Let me read to you from the NIV, Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. It says this: on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father, David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against His anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray together. Almighty God, our Father, who art in heaven, we give you praise today that we can come before you. The fact that we can pray and communicate to you, O Lord, what a wonderful privilege it is to do so. Teach us, O Lord, in this day that we may learn to pray. Although many of us have heard of prayer before, we ask that you speak anew in our hearts today, that we may rekindle our faith and our hope in you as we pray the same prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We're going to look at two parts. Understanding prayer, meaning what is prayer? What does it mean when we pray? And what prayers God doesn't answer? We'll then look into the practice of prayer. Some of you are familiar with this model, but I hope that we can learn and encourage one another to do the same, of how public prayer comes from our private prayer. It's not always I, but we, praying the gospel, which can be found in ACTS, and praying from small to big. These are the main points, yeah? Let me speak now to each and every one of them properly. Understanding prayer. What is prayer? Prayer essentially is talking with God. When we say we talk with God, it's not to say we just talk to God, where it's a one-way communication. It is an anticipation that God will also answer. And even when we don't initiate the conversation, God oftentimes will speak to us. And although there may be times where we may feel, God doesn't speak to me that way, I may want to recommend and encourage you to anticipate for God to speak to you directly, consciously, as you engage in His Word and as you pray through His Holy Spirit. Don't expect new revelation. Our God is a consistent Father, okay? It's kind of like my dad in the early days when Coca-Cola was a privilege to drink at the coffee shop. And if he said no before, do you expect a different answer the next time? They may be, oftentimes, part elements of grace where he says, go ahead, order one, to which then we will cherish that moment of grace. But knowing full well, there is a consistency in discipline. So anytime we're at a kopitiam, what drink do we order? Chitala. Sure. Okay? Because it's merely to quench the thirst. It's not meant to be another level of satisfaction. Our God is a consistent God. Yeah? Do not expect anything too different. But within Himself already is a magnificent character. Because what does it mean when we pray? What does it mean when we anticipate God to answer and communicate back? It means that God hears our prayers. It means that our help can only be found in the one true, living, active, and interactive God. And moreover, as we pray, we trust that God answers prayers as diligently as we pray. So we see in the text earlier in Acts chapter 4, where Peter and some disciples were released from prison, and they went back to report to the rest of the disciples. And instead of talking things like, okay, we better talk about finding a second liner, we better talk what will happen if someone goes to jail, what is the escape plan, do we migrate over to another country? I heard Rome is wonderful this time of year. No, the first thing they did was they went on their knees and pray, oh, sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through your mouth of your servant, our father, David. And then they articulated just as what David had prophesied in the event of the Messiah and his followers. The nations will rage, the people will plot in vain, the kings of the earth will rise up, and the rulers will band together against the Lord, our servant Jesus Christ, and against His anointed one. They already knew, they had the anticipation, and yet at the same time, just as that God had prophesied through His servant David that these things will come by, therefore they know that through God alone can they receive redemption, salvation, protection, and finally, an answer. And lo and behold, did he not answer? For his Holy Spirit went before them, and in the same spirit they went, and they were filled, and they spoke the word of God boldly. There was the answer to the prayer. So when we pray, I wonder if we anticipate for God to hear our prayer, or do we merely pray as a form of ritual in the morning? Or do we merely utter things which is no different than using the name of the Lord our God in vain? I wonder that when we go before God, do we already like, God, I know you're not going to answer this prayer differently? Or do we look forward to the day of hope that he may answer in a way that will give him glory and will give you a witness of his faithfulness? Now, some of us may wonder, what prayers does God not answer? What prayers does God not answer? If we read the Old Testament, he made it very abundantly clear that those who are in rebellion and sin against him, he's not going to answer. But now, in the day of Jesus, as we who are redeemed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, when we pray, what prayers might he not answer? Is it because of our sin? Is it because of our lack of faith? I will tell you this, no. There are some ministries out there who would say that we come in the name of Jesus to give you a miracle of healing or an abundant blessings. And when you don't get it, what might the answer be? O ye of little faith. Oh, what a guilt trip. Oh, you must have some dark sin, and that's why the Lord is not answering your prayer today, and that's why you cannot walk out of a wheelchair. No, my dear friends. God anticipates us to be inconsistent, but he is the most consistent. That covenant that he gave before Abraham, before David, and before Christ, he remains the same yesterday, today, forevermore, and he therefore does answer prayers consistently. What then do we say about our prayers that were not answered, or at least in the way that we anticipate? The Apostle Paul actually gives us some insight into this. This passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 8 and 9 says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, this thorn in his flesh. What might that be? We don't know. Could be a temptation, could be a struggle, any or both of the or all of the above. He says, three times he pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. So Paul at first thought that he would have his thorn or weakness taken away from him so that he can be strong and proclaim that that is the Lord's work. But no, God spoke to Paul and said, no, this time round, I want you to carry it. And I want you to show, and I want you to show others that despite your weaknesses, you can still do the work of God because of Christ who rests in you. There's a movie some years ago, I wonder if you might know it. It's called Evan Almighty. Evan Almighty was a modern-day idea where God, in the form of Morgan Freeman, went before Evan Baxter, who was ridiculed by Jim Carrey in the previous movie, but now he gets to be a, House of Representative, a member of Congress in the House of Representatives in America. But God, at that time, anticipated him to say, no, you're not going to be Evan Baxter, congressman. You're going to be Evan Baxter, the modern-day Noah. And he was told to build an ark. Now, of course, his wife and his children were so confused about all of this and was wondering what was going on. In their fear, they ran away from him for a part of the movie, to which then God spoke in the form of Morgan Freeman to the wife and said this, having trouble lately? You know, as you may know, my husband is the modern-day Noah. Oh, I love that. I love that story. To which then she said, why would God do things like this? I pray for many other things and he doesn't answer, but on this thing, suddenly he has his own way about it. Then God and Morgan Freeman said this to the wife. When you pray for patience, does God give you patience? Or do he give you the opportunity to learn patience? When you pray for strength, does God give you the strength? Or does God give you the opportunity to gain that strength? When you pray for more time with your husband and your family, did he suddenly set aside the calendar, or did he provide you opportunity to spend time with your family, in your family together? So there are times, my dear friends, when we go before God and when we ask the question, oh Lord, I wanted this. Why aren't you giving it to me? No, my dear friends, He is still giving it to you, but perhaps not in a way that you first thought. So I recommend this response by this Puritan by the name of John Hall. I like the way he says it. He says, good prayers never came weeping home, meaning in disappointment. I am sure that I shall receive either what I ask or what I should ask. So my dear friends, I'm speaking to those who may have had chapters in their lives where they felt their prayers were not answered. It may be very personal. It may be very, you had such high hopes. But the Lord answers differently. And therefore, it's not that he doesn't want to answer your prayer. It's just that we should be asking in our prayers rather differently. Good prayers never came weeping. Let us be sure that we shall receive either by what we ask or by what we should ask. Let's then talk into about practicing prayer. How then should we pray? And how then does the gospel change the way we pray? Yeah? Because every religion prays. Every religion will have a mode of prayer. Some may seem more holy than other. It could be prostrating to the floor or offering fruit at an altar or putting jot sticks at a statue or shaving your head as a covenant. We don't do that much in Christian faith. And we as Baptist churches, we don't do much about fasting. In fact, we anticipate lunch later. Something for us to think about. But the mode is not the matter at hand. It is the person, the man to whom we pray. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when we pray with the gospel? What happens when we pray with this anticipation that Jesus will answer our prayers for his glory? What happens when we pray knowing full well that Christ, the bridegroom and the great high priest, will care for his bride, the church, and answer to his disciples? Well, let me just give some notes here. Just as we read earlier in the prayer of the disciples for courage, and also in the Lord's Prayer, here are some things we can consider. Number one is, public prayer will come from our private prayer. How we pray publicly, how we pray for others, will be a slight window of reflection of how we pray privately. If you pray for healing, and by God's grace he answers, don't be surprised that you will have the confidence to pray for another person's healing. When you pray for a breakthrough and we see it in Jesus' name, or even we haven't seen it yet, you will have the confidence to pray for another person who needs that breakthrough as well. So what would be the easiest thing for us to do? We are supposed to pray for others to know the gospel. Because why? The gospel was made known to us. How you pray for another person is a reflection, 10%, a small ounce, compared to how you pray privately. So my dear friends, if you feel that you haven't had the courage to pray for another person, maybe it's because you yourself haven't had that consistent time with God. And so we require for us to think, have there been days where we don't communicate with God, that we don't recognize His presence in our lives, so much so that we acted and behaved no different than a person who has no faith in God? How we pray in public reflects how we have our relationship with God in private. Secondly, it's not always I, but oftentimes we. Not always I, oftentimes it's we. It's good to pray personally. Lord, I need help. Even when we sang just now, by the way, singing is a reflection of our public prayer. How we sing in hope and faith and confidence, and how we are supposed to sing to one another with songs and spirit, with hymns and spiritual songs. That is actually a reflection of our prayer. And there will be times where we will pray, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. But oftentimes also, as we pray, we should pray in first person, plural. We. In both prayers, Acts chapter 4, it is a collective prayer of the church. We come before you. And when Jesus taught us to pray, He kind of knew that we will already know how to pray personally. And that's why when he teaches to pray, He says, Our Father in heaven. So I pray that we will also spend time that we can pray collectively as a church. How may we do this? Well, every Saturday online and once a month physically, we are praying collectively together in our weekly prayer meeting. And I will encourage you, in fact, put it in your bucket list to consistently come once a quarter physically, once a month online. And by doing that alone, it will be a great encouragement to you, knowing that God doesn't just answer the prayers of personal for personal supplication, but also for collective crying out to God. It's not always I, but we. Now you may come up to me, Pastor Mark, if I'm praying quietly by myself, how can I pray we? Well, know this. There are some things that you would pray. We will wholeheartedly want to agree and pray alongside with you. So don't be surprised. Yeah? If we pray, dear Lord, we pray for revival in Petaling Jaya. What should be our response? It should be a resounding amen. And don't be surprised. Don't be embarrassed if you pray collectively, Lord, we pray for that. Because I'm sure and I hope that we as a church who has covenanted together in membership, we will come together and say, Amen. Amen. May I recommend also that you pray the gospel? Many times we will go before God and we will start with our list, the things that we want, the things that we need. And don't worry, there's time for that. But may I recommend also that we pray in reflection of the gospel, adoring Him as who He is. Acts chapter 4, the first thing they pray was not, Lord, we need help. They all said, Oh, sovereign Lord. That is an adoration that He is the sovereign one above our heads and over our lives. And even the Lord's Prayer, the first thing that we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Secondly, confess. Of course, we know we confess our sins before God so that we in faith may know that He forgives us our sins as we go into true repentance in Jesus Christ. Sure. But I would like to encourage you that confession is not merely our sins. We're not Roman Catholic in that way. Because our confession is never just confessing our sins and leaving it in the air. But rather we confess truth that same one who we ask for forgiveness our sins in faith will forgive our sins. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. So as sure as we pray in anticipation that he will supply our needs, we also pray and confess that he will supply our needs. Thanksgiving. Give thanks to God for all that he has done, day by day, week by week, moment by moment. We even see in Acts chapter 4 that not only do they acknowledge that he is a sovereign Lord, but they confess that God had anticipated this from the time of David and is now coming into fruition in verse 27, Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles. Yeah? And they also had thanksgiving. That in verse 28, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen, but at the same time they pray with thanksgiving, knowing that they were released by the grace of God. And then comes, of course, supplication. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. When we pray in reflection of the God that we adore, the truth that we confess, the power of God that we give thanks, when we pray in earnest request before God, it will be different. We won't pray, oh God, keep us safe, keep us hidden behind. May your mighty shield just cover us safely so that we can weather out this storm and maybe be good witnesses when things are not so dangerous. No, they prayed in looking at the mighty power of God. They said, oh God, now give us courage so that we may speak your word as bravely as you had declared and displayed your word on the cross and in the empty tomb. A-C-T-S. Finally, friends, I encourage you, pray from small to big. What do I mean by that? In our discipleship, we will start praying to God for the little things in life. As much as our faith can, we will pray. But I hope that as time goes by, your prayer and anticipation of his fulfillment will grow, and therefore you'll be more emboldened to pray, not just for yourself, but for others. Not just for others in your small circle, but also broadly in the wider circle. One example that we can do that is as we pray for faithfulness in our gospel proclamation here in Pantai Baptist Church, we should also pray for faithful gospel representation in our neighboring churches whom we love as fellow gospel bearers, namely Emmanuel Baptist Church in PJ Old Town, Cornerstone Baptist Church down the LDP, Trinity Methodist Church just across from us from here, Damansara Utama Methodist Church, and Glad Tidings, that they in the midst of all of their proclamation of peace and breakthrough, they may also proclaim the breakthrough that they have in the resurrection of Jesus. Name them, because we are collectively beacons of his good news. And oh Lord, do we need courage to be faithful, especially in these times. Pray from small to big. Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verses 24 to 25 says this: let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This Bible text basically recommends us to don't just do this alone. Friends, don't pray alone. I find even me personally, as I pray alone, I will tend to skip my conversations with God. But as I pull my wife, my children together, and we pray as a family, and as I take time to pray every morning at staff devotion, or as I take time to pray collectively here during our weekly prayer meetings, I can assure you, we will definitely therefore pray more earnestly and more diligently. This may also be the same in our witnessing before others. And so I understand it may be difficult to get moving alone to reach out to our friends alone. So that's why we started this movement called I Am GEM. I am getting everybody moving. How can you do this? And how collectively we can actually fulfill our prayers for our loved ones that they may know Christ as Lord and Savior? This is one method that we can do. So before I close, may I invite Sister Joyce to come and give some detail on this.
Thank you, Pastor Mark, for the introduction. And I think you have probably seen many of us are wearing the GEM T-shirt today. And I must congratulate all PBC citizens. You are very fast in signing up for this very special program, this Getting Everybody Moving. May I announce, as of this morning, we have 81 GEMers.
Amen.
And among the 81 GEMers, we have 17 signed up from the Carries. And Carries supposedly are the one with the least IT savvy, but they are the first to sign up. And
Amen.
Followed by number two participant is the highest part signed up members are from CGs of Elder Chinchi. Yeah. And then number three, running number three is CUG members. Where to go? CUG,
yes,
young people.
University.
Yeah, so all for all the rest of you, if you have not signed up, we'll be outside. Once you sign up, scan. Ian, can you please show that QR code? Yes. Scan this QR code, and then you'll fill up a very simple form. The form will ask for your name and phone number and how many people you want to reach out to. Yeah, and give the name of the people that you want to reach out to. Then you will be able then we will enter you into our GEMers group. Okay, next slide, please. Yeah, and what does GEMer do? GEMers, we need to reach out to old friends. Think of your old friends or family members who are not yet believers and you want to reach out to them with kindness. Yeah, show them kindness. This one no need training, yeah? And many of us, I presume many of us are already in CG, you are already being trained the CE under the CE program. So reaching out to people with kindness, no need training, and try to make effort to connect with your friends, yeah, and make appointment for dinner or tea or lunch, yeah, and be a listener to them, reach out to them since you have not caught up with them for some time. And also you can share your story, share how Christ has answered your prayer, yeah, and so that, and go. Before you go, pray. Before you go, pray. And if you have a chance to share the gospel, which you have learned in CE, do that. Yeah, do that. So we do this. Yeah, in the name of Christ, you know, and ask God and ask Holy Spirit to guide us as we make appointment to meet up with friends. All right, and these are the steps that we need to do. Next slide, please, Yen. Next, okay, first, you scan the QR, join the program, fill out a Google form, and then you'll get a T-shirt like this. Yeah, and after that, after you have signed up, we will add you to a WhatsApp community. And what does the community do? In the community, we will hear others sharing their success story, sharing how they have reached out and showed kindness to their friends, or if any of their friends that needs prayer support, or they themselves need prayer support, we will share in that a WhatsApp community. And the WhatsApp community is not for gossiping, it's for us to support one another in reaching out to our friends, in sharing Christ, sharing how God has answered our prayer with our friends, with our fellow GEMers. It is not a, we are not supposed to talk about others, we talk about our effort in reaching out to our friends who need Jesus Christ. So it is that simple. It is a very simple process, so I encourage you to sign up. Okay, and we have a GEM committee. The committee actually are targeting 300 GEMers to sign up from PBC. Do you think we can do it?
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
Can we reach 300?
Yes.
In 1 week, we reach 81. So we need 3 more weeks to reach 300. Okay?
Amen.
Yes, we can do that.
Amen.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you, Pastor Mark.
Thank you. Let me just give a bit of a hindsight without naming anyone in particular. In this success group, we are already having a couple saying that I'm going to witness to a brother who is a pre-believer, and we huddle together and we pray together, right there and then. We didn't come to one room and pray, but in that WhatsApp group already, we are on bended knee and say, Lord, please speak to this brother that he may know Christ. And some, even before prayer, prayer answer already. Already, before even first day of launching GEM, one came to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Not excited, ah? One only, ah? Yala, one only, ah? One came to know Christ as Lord and Savior, even before we even started launching anything. Why? Because we come collectively in prayer and anticipation of the gospel work. Let me just end with this statement. One theologian said rather negatively, to ignore prayer is to embrace atheism, which is true. If you ignore prayer in your life, you're no different than an atheist who tries to live out life by yourself, with your own strength, for your own goals. But let me twist that to be more positive. To embrace prayer is to witness the God of the gospel. So friends, when we pray, I hope that we do not just say, Lord, I'm just saying this prayer as a token hello. It's like how sometimes when we were younger, we'll go to our grandfather and say, Akong, japeng ah, japeng ah. Just as a mode of respect, rather than an actual concern that he may eat well. I pray that we will mature that to say, oh Lord, we put our trust in you. And in you answering our prayers, we may see consistently the God of the gospel. So friends, if you have not seen the gospel work reaching and enriching your life, maybe it's because we haven't prayed in the gospel mind. To say that the Lord God, even before we love him, he first loved us. To say that before we could even give anything which is not worthy of his glory, he graciously gave this new life through the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus. And that now, through his Holy Spirit, we are not just uplifting a model prophet. No, we are interacting with a living, active God. And that is our hope that no other faith could ever have. To embrace prayer is to witness the God of the gospel. So let us not do it alone. Let's do it together as his gospel community, getting everybody moving. Let's pray. O merciful God and Heavenly Father, as we examine ourselves, some very simple things can be said. There are days that we do not pray to you. There are days that we do not put a careful thought of you as our God and Savior. There are moments, especially in our comfort, that we feel that we don't need you. So we pray, O God, however it may you remind us on how much we need you. Lord, there are days where we pray oftentimes selfishly, thinking that our problems is the most important problems of them all. So teach us, Lord, to look beyond our struggles and look to your bride who is going through struggles in different ways around the world. Some of our church may be hungry. Some of your bride is going through so much violence in both sides of the war. God, I pray that we will pray on behalf of those brothers and sisters in need. And when we do so, we realize of how wonderful a life that you have provided for us anyway. Teach us, Lord, that we may learn to give thanks for that. That we may ask the needs not just of ourselves but for others. Teach us, O Lord, to adore you Because you are not a hateful God. You're not a vengeful God. You are God who is slow to anger. You are a God who is quick to love, quick to redeem. And may our lives confess of that finished work of Christ in our lives, ever unfolding, ever going from small to great, ever seeing you, O God, and your mighty hand working our lives every day. Lord, for those who have yet to put their trust in you, we ask that in a mighty and supernatural way, you may cause your Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts, to help them realize that you are all they need. And as we cry out, "Our Father in heaven, hear us our prayers," you will answer for your glory and in your time. And then we will realize, oh, there's nothing else we need other than you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that in this day we will reinvigorate the way we pray. They will come up to you with great joy and anticipation. And we'll pray together, collectively as your bride, regularly, often. And when we pray, our Father in heaven, it will give you glory as we do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, let us stand and respond as we pray and sing, "Our Father who art in heaven."